Well, welcome everyone to our Now Read This Book Club. Our pick for May, as you all know, was The Street by Ann Petrie. It's a little different for us. It's an older book, came out in the 1940s. And to speak for Ann Petrie is the contemporary novelist Tayari Jones, who wrote the introduction for it. And Tayari, nice to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So tell me a little bit about how this happened. I mean, this is a reissue. What do you know and how did you get involved?
Well, you know, I read The Street many years ago when I was a student at Spelman College, and I was just moved by the characters, and I couldn't understand why everyone wasn't reading this book, particularly when I found out that it is the first novel by a Black woman to sell 1 million copies. And it had always been kind of on my mind. And then the New York Times offered me the opportunity to write about a book or an author that I thought deserved more attention. And immediately I knew that I wanted to write about Ann Petrie. And from there, the publisher Houghton Mifflin, who published The Street in the 40s when it won a prize for debut novelists, they contacted me and said they were bringing the book back out and asked if I would write the introduction and if I would kind of serve as a public face and advocate for this book. And there was no doubt. I said, absolutely.
Well, so, you know, no surprise, but a number of our readers wanted to know more about the book and especially about the author. So let's just go right there. Cindy Lubin of the Bronx writes, "Can you tell us more about Ann Petrie? I loved the book and I would love to know more about this talented writer." I mean, one of the facts here is that this is someone who had some acclaim and then I guess for the most part disappeared. Most of us had never heard of her.
Well, she had not just some acclaim. I mean, she broke records. So she was born in, I think, 1908, and she lived in New England, in a small town in New England. And she was one of only like 10 or so Black families in this entire town. And so she had many of the experiences that we kind of associate with the more modern post-Brown versus the Board experience in her education. She married in her early 20s. She became a pharmacist and a journalist. And then she moved to Harlem with her husband. And she wrote for, you know, many of the newspapers and magazines that we associate actually with the Harlem Renaissance. And it was there that she observed the life that she describes in The Street. She submitted the manuscript to a contest at Houghton Mifflin, and she won. She won the contest, and the book was published, and it was just a runaway success. She's often compared to Richard Wright's Native Son, which I understand why, because Ludie Johnson, like Richard Wright's character Bigger, which was also a big blockbuster novel, you know, suffers a lot in terms of about racism and class and labor. But I feel that The Street is not just a pink collar version of Native Son. It stands on its own 2 feet.
Well, so to continue along that lines, Dolores Crane from Slidell, Louisiana, did Miss Petrie set out to write this book, The Street, as a suspense thriller for the reading audience? Now, it's an interesting, in your introduction, you talk about the genre, right? Literary fiction, pulp fiction, thriller. How do you see this book? What do you think she was after?
I think she was trying to tell a good story. I don't think that she was terribly obsessed with labels, if it's suspense, if it's literary. I do think this kind of genre obsession is a fairly recent phenomenon in understanding books. But I think that she wanted to write a novel that was at once very pointed in its social critique. At the same time, she wanted you to finish it. She wanted you to turn pages. I think she really shows something that you don't have to sacrifice the beating heart for the active mind.
So Chris Carey of Cincinnati writes, "Some of her descriptions are so poignant, you feel you are there." So do we know? I mean, that's what writers do, of course. And you said she spent part of her time in living in Harlem. What about the writing style itself?
One thing that she did that I thought was just masterful was the way that she made The Street into a character. I feel like every character is so vividly described. You can imagine them having their own book, kind of like the way sitcoms have spinoffs. Like you could totally imagine Mrs. Hedges, the madam who lives upstairs, and Junto, the bar owner, you know, having a novel of their own about their relationship. I feel that She was writing about people who so often have been deprived of their humanity in the general American imagination. And she decided to illuminate all the facets of their being. And so the descriptions of place complement the descriptions of the character, because Harlem itself had been dehumanized in the American imagination.
Harlem at that time was what kind of world was she living in and writing about?
Well, this is more the time that she was writing about. I mean, she enjoyed, you know, a middle-class life, which was also part of Harlem in the 1940s. But she was writing about the underclass, the people who can't find jobs, and particularly the way that being unable to find a job intersected with people's personal relationships. You know, Ludie works as a maid, and this is really the first time I had ever seen in literature a Black woman who works as a maid, where being a maid was described as a job rather than a calling. Mm-hmm. I was really interested in looking at what is the cost of the labor that makes some people comfortable? How do people live, and how does poverty affect the way people make day-to-day choices? Ludie is always harassing her little boy. Harassing isn't even the right word, but he has to turn off the lights because the light bill is too high. But then he's afraid of the dark, and he's afraid to use the lights, and he wants to make money to help his mother, and he's only 8 years old. The mother-son relationship is really torn by the poverty. The poverty affects everything she does and everything everyone around her does. And you know, it comes together, and I don't want to give anything away about the book, but a devastating climax when someone who works so hard and tries so hard for a better life just is unable.
Some of our readers noted there's also other stereotypes here, but she explores them in more complex ways. There's some bad dudes, right? I mean, there's that she gets involved with, but Anne Petrie does sort of make them fuller characters.
You know, I was really struck by the character of Boots, the musician slash sort of bouncer, and he is filled with rage. And much of his rage is fueled by the fact that he once worked as a Pullman porter. Now, I had always thought of the Pullman porters as quite a dignified job because I associated with A. Philip Randolph's union, the Brotherhood of Pullman Porters, the first African-American labor union. But he recalls his time as a Pullman porter as like bootlicking, and he's filled with rage. He refuses to enlist in the army because he's filled with rage at the way he's treated in the U.S. And that rage boils over against, of all people, Ludie Johnson, who really has no role in the things that have caused him such humiliation and such anger. But all of his anger is directed at her and at other women.
Let me read you one from Margaret Daigle of Falls Church, Virginia. Ludie did everything we tell young people to do: finish school, marry before having children, continued her studies to pass the civil service exam, yet she remained trapped on the street due to racism, sexism, economics, and geography. Do you think that is better since the civil rights era, since this era?
I was thinking of how modern and current this novel feels, despite the fact that it was published more than 50 years ago. And I was trying to decide, does this mean that Anne Petrie is a genius, or does it mean that things haven't changed? Or is this really the intersection of both? I do think that, you know, there was a study out recently that showed the average Black woman has less than $100 in wealth. So Ludie cannot save. This is Ludie's problem. She works, she works, she works, but she cannot save enough money to get off the street. And I think that we're learning right now in this moment of COVID-19, how many people have no savings, have no cushion, nothing to fall back on. If Ludie could just save a little bit of money, that would be the launching pad she would need to change her life. But she's kind of a subsistence worker. And I think this is true for many African Americans. I think that it's not true also for many of us, but so many remain trapped in this cycle of work, no savings. More work, no savings.
Why for you does this story still resonate for us today?
Well, one, we cannot overlook just the superior writing that I think transcends time. But I think the reason it still works is that Petrie spoke bravely and boldly about issues that people weren't talking about so much in the 40s. And that's why the book has endured, like the inequality in education, how her son, Bub, goes to a school and his teacher despises the students and thinks that they're black and poor and she just can't bear to be around them. You know, we've read, there's so many studies now about the way black children are treated in these underfunded public schools, which was true in the 40s and is true now. But also the sexual harassment that Ludie experiences, you know, this was Me Too before Me Too. And this is an intersectional study. Like Ludie, there's no one to whom Ludie can complain when her beauty is being used as leverage because everyone says, I'll help you get ahead. And part of the heartbreaking thing of this book is that usually in a novel, if a woman is very beautiful, this helps her in life. You know, it's a way that the authors build the character and suggest that there's a bright light for her. But for Ludie, every time someone notices her beauty, they try to think of a way that they can make money from it, or they try to think of, you know, everyone wants to exploit her sexually. And so this thing that traditionally would be a source of pride is just a kind of a millstone around her neck.
You were referring to this earlier, but I want to ask it again, if you don't mind. The book, of course, was written in the 40s. The reissue was all planned and came out before the moment we're in of pandemic. But I wonder, how does it speak to us now? Do you feel it in some new way?
I think it's a cautionary tale to what would happen if people are not taken care of. Ludie lives in a community where virtually everyone is struck by this poverty. And we see the way it's corroded, the ways that it's corroded the civility between the people, but also it illuminates the ways that corporations and other institutions take advantage of people who are poor. If Ludie had access to some kind of government assistance where she could just have the smallest savings, so much could have been avoided. A child's life would be very different.
And how does that play right now amid the virus, the pandemic?
Well, I think this virus is really showing us all the fault lines in society. Someone told me that this virus is like luminol. Do you watch like kind of crime shows and they come into like a hotel room and it looks normal and they spray this chemical and when you turn out the lights, you can see where there's been blood and they turn out the lights and the whole room starts to glow and someone says, oh my God, it's a massacre. I think that this virus is like we have sprayed luminol on America and we're saying, oh my goodness, it's a massacre. This is where we are now. And the street, it's a kind of novel that also shows us where the blood is in our society. And she's just, I feel that these characters are so alive and they touch our hearts, even the bad guys. I feel like she's asking us in our better selves to stop the tide. We have to take care of the poor.
Let me just ask you finally about its influence on you. I mean, you said you read it in college. You've come away since then as a writer yourself. What kind of influence has Ann Petrie and her other novels had on other writers, perhaps of your generation?
She had an effect that people may not even know. She is part of the movement that made that effect, which is to let the literary writers, the writers concerned about social change, to lean into your ideology when you write. And also, don't be afraid to let a reader have a good time. I have to say, I've read this book 15 times if I read it once. And every single time I gasp at certain plot twists. I cringe, I worry, I laugh, I cry. I have all the emotions. She's not afraid to have a racing. This plot is like a house on fire. And that's the beauty of it. But she doesn't sacrifice the writing on the level of line. And she also doesn't sacrifice the social commentary. A good book is a book that's good to read.
All right. The book is The Street. The author is Ann Petrie. Tayari Jones, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.